Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 14, and today is a double verse, 27 and 28. Did they put both on the board or just one? Which one? The first one, Atta? Okay. Atta Deshan Pravakshyami Dharmadi Shreya Avahan Sa Vai Punyatamo Deshaha Satpatram Yatra Labhyate Atta Deshan Pravakshyami Dharmadi Shaya Abahan Savai Punyatamo Desha Satpatrang Yatalabhyate Atadeshan Pravakshyami Dharmadi Treya Abahan Savai Punyatamo Desha Satpatrang Yatralabhyate Atadeshan Prabhakshyami Dharmadi Shreya Avahan Savai Punyatamo Desha Satpatrang Yatralabhyate. Please chant. Atadeshan Prabhakshyami Dharmadi Shreya Avahan Savai Punyatamo Desha Satpatrang Yatalabhyate Atadeshan Prabhakshyami Dharmadi Shreya Avahan Savai Punyatamo Desha Satpatrang Yatralabhyate Atadeshan Prabhakshyami Dharma Adishaya Avahan. Vaishnavins. Atadeshan Prabhakshyami Dharmadi Shreya Avahan Savai Punyatamo Desha Satpatrang Yatralabhyate Atadeshan Prabhakshyami Dharmadi Shreya Avahan Savai Punyatamo Desha Satpatrang Yatralabhyate. Anyone else? Okay, I'll read the second verse and then we'll do the translation. Bimbam Bhagavato Yatra Sarvam Etat Characharam Yatraha Brahmana Kulam Tapo Vidya Dayan Vitam. So, synonyms, Atta. Thereafter, Deshan, places, Pravakshyami, I shall describe, Dharma Adi, religious performances, and so on, Shreya, auspiciousness, Avahan, which can bring, Saha, that, Vai, indeed, Punyatamaha, the most sacred, Teshaha. Place. Satpatram. Evaishnava. Yatra. Wherein. Labhyate. Is available. Bimbam. The deity. In the temple. Bhagavataha. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the support? Yatra. Where? Sarvam etat. Of this entire cosmic manifestation. Chara acharam. With all the moving and non-moving living entities. Yatra. Wherein? Ha. Indeed. Brahmanakulam. Association with Brahmanas. Tapaha. Austerities. Vidya. Education. Daya. Mercy. Anvitam. Endowed with. Srila Prabhupada's translation for these two verses. Narada Muni continued, "Now I shall describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. Any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is a most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned Brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred." Please repeat. Narada Muni continued, "Now I shall describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. Any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is a most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned Brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred." Srila Prabhupada's purport for these verses. In this verse, it is indicated that a Vaishnava temple where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is worshipped and where Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord is the best sacred place for performing any religious ceremonies. At the present day, especially in big, big cities, people live in small apartments and are not able to establish a deity or temple. Under the circumstances, therefore, the centers and temples being established by the expanding Krishna consciousness movement are the best sacred places for performing religious ceremonies. Although people in general are no longer interested in religious ceremonies or deity worship, the Krishna consciousness movement gives everyone the chance to advance in spiritual life by becoming Krishna conscious. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarani Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishnang Sapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishamanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha kalpaturubhya shakripa sindubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, who's speaking? It's an open book test because it's stated in the verse today. Narad Muni continued. All right, and who's he speaking to? What do you say? Who's he speaking to? Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yes, we have to always keep the scene in mind if we're going to clean. So who is Narada Muni? He's definitely equipped to instruct everyone, to instruct all of us through Yudhishthira, because he's a liberated soul. He's a pure soul, which means he's free from the four defects of conditioned life. What are those four defects? We should always be conscious. What are the four defects? Tendency to commit mistakes. Imperfect senses. Subject to illusion and cheating propensity. So one who is in conditioned life and who's operating with those four defects is not really qualified to give transcendental knowledge. Therefore, we should always seek out someone who is free from the four defects. So Narada Muni is free from those four defects, so he's qualified to instruct anyone and everyone. And by the system of Guru Parampara, Guru teaching disciple who then becomes Guru teaches other disciples like that, this knowledge is coming down in that unbroken chain to Srila Prabhupada, and through Srila Prabhupada we're supposed to imbibe that same knowledge and pass it on as it is. No interpretation, not that this is what I heard from my guru, but you know, I think maybe perhaps I should change this or that. No. Then it becomes lost, as Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that over time the knowledge as it is appears to be lost, and therefore I'm speaking it to you again. In other words, he said, Imam Vivarste Yogam Proktam Ahamyam Vivaswan Manavaya Praha Manurishmakaviva. In the beginning I spoke this knowledge to Vivaswan, the sun god, who spoke it to his son Manu, who spoke it to his son Ikshvaku. And in this way, the knowledge has been coming down. But now it appears to be lost, therefore I'm speaking it again to you, Arjuna. And then, again, the knowledge as it is becomes established. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us that knowledge as it is. And Narada Muni is giving knowledge as it is. Not as, maybe, I think, perhaps, not like that. Prabhupada would always make fun of the scientists, because they would lead off most of their statements by saying that. And although they say that, I think maybe, perhaps, if you don't regurgitate exactly what they give you, then they fail you, right? If you go to a science class and they give you knowledge as they think, as it may be, as perhaps it is, but then you have to give them back that same thing that they told you, otherwise they don't want to hear anything. When my ex Damayanti used to go to Santa Monica College, and there was one teacher there was a very dyed-in-the-wool Darwinist, and she would challenge him that, no, this is just speculation. And he didn't want to... No, you have to give back what you get. But then when she mentioned that her neighbor was Michael Cremo, the author of Forbidden Archaeology, then all of a sudden he became attentive. Oh, because when you read books by a scientifically trained devotee like Druta Karma Prabhu, also known as Michael Cremo, then you realize that how foolish they are. It's specifically pointed out all the anomalous evidence that has been discovered that pokes huge holes in their theories that they can't ignore. But because they are pre-convinced that there is no God, that the Big Bang is actually reality, then they're always looking for arguments to support their preconceived decision. They've already decided that that's the way it is. And they're simply looking for evidence to support that. And therefore, when any evidence contradicts that, then they kick it aside. They push it away, lock it away in some back room in a museum somewhere. So these were the kind of things that Druta Karma and Sadaputta Prabhu went around and discovered. And they wrote about it in their book, Forbidden Archaeology, to put holes in the theories of the modern scientists. Ramachandra Prabhu recently reminded us that Prabhupada said that there were two main things that he wanted to kick out, that his mission was to kick out. One is godless government, and the other one is godless science. Prabhupada wanted to destroy those two things, and he wanted his disciples and followers to become qualified to challenge these rascals. Just like disciples once challenged some scientists that you say life comes from chemicals. So we're willing, we're prepared to put you in a lab and give you any amount of chemicals that you want. Any you name the chemical, we'll bring as much quantity of that chemical as you want. And we'll even feed you. And then, can you create life in your lab? And the scientists was challenged like that. They had to say, no, we can't. Because they know, deep down, you know, the soul, being part and parcel of Krishna, deep down we know, we have this knowledge, we know. But this whole modern godless scientific establishment is simply meant for defying God so that we can have, hopefully, the kingdom of God without God. Right? And therefore they waste so much time and human energy trying to eliminate death by scientific means. Right? They'll say, walk for breast cancer, walk for Alzheimer's, walk for this, walk for that. In other words, give us your money so we can live comfortably, and maybe, perhaps, we'll come up with a cure for this particular disease. Giving people false hope. They scare them. You know, every year, 2 million people die needlessly of this particular disease. Now, if you give us money to do research, we'll come up with a cure for that particular disease, so nobody will die from that disease anymore. But guess what? Even if you come up with a cure for such and such disease, the death rate remains 100%. Everybody dies from one thing or another. This is shocking for those who want to hide behind scientific experimentation. It's shocking news for them. Once the devotees in Europe, they produce a little video clip like this. It's probably still on YouTube. You can find it. There was a young devotee, Gurukuli kid, young, about maybe 10, 11. And he's on the street, you know, with newspapers. He's holding the newspaper. Extra, extra. Read all about it. And so one devotee dressed as a businessman comes over and says, okay, I'll take one. And he looks at the headline and says, death rate 100%. So the businessman is a little shocked. He said, is this news? And the kid says, to some people. But not to us. Because we know from the Shastra the death rate is 100%. So we're not fooled when they say, okay, give us your money to cure this disease. That, it doesn't matter. You're going to die from something. Just like yesterday, I had to visit my mom in the hospital in Simi Valley. So the devotees, you know, being kind, they ask, you know, oh, what's wrong? I said, what's wrong is old age. She's 83 years old. The material body is designed that it's going to give you trouble of some kind or the other. And as you get older, you know, like in her case, they're pumping her full of so many different medications. There's a long list. She's taking like 10 or 12 different medicines. And obviously, they're going to contradict each other. They're going to create more problems. So, you know, a few days ago, her blood pressure dropped dangerously low, and then they had to rush her to the ER. So this is going on. They say they're going to cure you of this thing and that thing, and they come up with this medicine or that medicine, but then they pump you full of all these medicines that have their own problems. Nowadays, because of truth in advertising. Formerly, 50 years ago, they didn't tell the truth. They would just tell you, this drug is wonderful. Come and buy this drug. But now they have to tell the truth. So if you read the package or if you see the commercial, they'll tell you, this drug is wonderful, but then they have to tell you in a soft voice, but these are the side effects. Diarrhea, sleeplessness, don't operate heavy machinery. Some people even die from taking this medicine. But anyway, it's a great medicine. Speak to your doctor before you take it. So because of truth in advertising, they have to let you know that that same medicine that they want to give you to cure you can kill you. And then when you take 10 or 12 such medicines, of course you're going to have problems. Of course. So it's a false proposition that they're selling. But the demons, they don't want to admit that. Those who are actually intelligent among the demons, like Hiranyakashipu, he knew that there's no question of enjoying if I can't live eternally. So my first business is to become immortal. I want to enjoy in this material world. I want to live in a way where I can fool myself that I'm God, that there is no God. But in order to do that, he was intelligent enough, I have to become immortal. So he performed austerities to become immortal. That's the first step in his program. And he was so severe in his austerities that he attracted Lord Brahma. And then he asked, what do you want? What benediction do you want? You're performing such severe austerities, disturbing the whole universe, fire coming out of his head, burning, scorching the whole place. What do you want? So he didn't say, you know, give me a wife, give me a house, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadishari. No, he said, give me deathlessness, immortality. He was smart. That's what he wanted. Because if I'm not immortal, if death can strike at any moment, then how can I enjoy? The foolish mini-demons, they're just like, they're compared to the cattle who are lined up in the cattle pen to be slaughtered. Lined up in the cattle pen to be slaughtered. So while the one at the head of the line is getting killed, the one at the back of the line is eating grass, munching, checking out the opposite sex. You know, so this is animal consciousness. A real intelligent person at least wants to try for immortality. Because if I'm not immortal, how can I enjoy in this world? So we know the story. He tried for immortality. He tried to cheat so many ways, but the Lord, the Shringadev, came and killed him. So his son, Prahlad, he was very smart. When Lord Shringadev offered him benedictions, he said, why are you trying to tempt me in this way? I saw my father, the biggest demon who ever lived. He had everything. He had control over the whole universe. And still, he had to die. So what is the use of asking for any material benediction? It's not going to last. This is intelligence. This is intelligence. So we have to be convinced that we are eternal. And therefore, nothing... Tell him not to ring the bell so loudly. Not so loudly. When the class is going on, whoever it is, tell him not to ring so loudly. So we're... First of all, I have to be convinced that we are eternal, and therefore we have to strive for eternal benefit, not something temporary. This was the point of the class. Who gave class a few days ago? Shreyas and Prayas. That was you, right? Naikatma Prabhu. Shreyas and Prayas. The foolish, materialistically minded individual wants immediate gratification. What can I do to enjoy immediately? Something that I can do to get immediate. This is karmi mentality. I want the fruit of my activities and I want it now. But the devotee mentality is that I will do something for my ultimate benefit and the ultimate benefit of others, not just something that comes immediately. Because immediately comes and goes. You enjoy it for a few moments, and then the repercussions are there. You take this medicine that gives you a little relief right now, but then it has so many side effects. So this is not, nobody puts, intelligent puts their faith in that kind of approach. The intelligent person wants to do something that will give long-term benefit, eternal benefit. This is what we want. This is how we're being trained. So Narad Muni here is in today's double verse is explaining, not only do you have to perform auspicious activities, but you should perform them in an auspicious place. So where, intelligently, we would ask, okay, where is an auspicious place? So he's saying, wherever there is a Vaishnava. So who is a Vaishnava? Prabhupada would ask that, because sometimes Prabhupada would seem to have a broad vision of Vaishnava. It's not just Prabhupada, in general, the Shastra. Anyone who once chants the holy name of the Lord is accepted as a Vaishnava. Well, to speak of those who are practicing sadhana bhakti. But then at other times, Prabhupada would make it a very narrow definition. A pure devotee of the Lord is a Vaishnava. Not a neophyte, somebody in the mixed platform, but a pure devotee of the Lord. So in today's verse, it seems to be indicating that definition. Wherever there's a pure devotee of the Lord, that place is a sacred place and is a proper place for engaging in auspicious activities. This list of activities that he mentioned previously, things that should be done, activities that should be performed, ceremonies that should be performed in relation to death and birthdays, it was all listed a few days ago. On the occasion of the birthday of your children, in association with your wife, you should perform certain ceremonies. So these ceremonies should be performed in a sacred place. So another sacred place mentioned is the temple. The temple of the Lord is a sacred place. Many people say they believe in God and they experience God when they're, you know, surfing a big wave or when they're up on the mountain looking out, but they never come to the temple. But if you accept that God is everywhere, why not in the temple? Why not come to the temple? What's wrong with the temple? They'll see God everywhere in Whole Foods and on the beach and at the top of some mountain, but they don't see God in the temple, so they don't come here. No, the temples are established, I've said many times, as places of concentrated God consciousness. Just like anybody can learn anything anywhere. You can learn from the internet. You can learn sitting on a park bench. But still, universities exist. Universities, colleges are places of concentrated learning. That's supposed to be the only business. You go there, they have people who are qualified to teach you, and you can go there and learn a particular subject. It's a place of concentrated learning. So similarly, the temples where the deity of the Lord is established are places of concentrated God consciousness. We make it even more narrow, places of concentrated Krishna consciousness. So how is the temple established? How are the deities established? Prabhupada showed many times while he was here, especially with his temples in India. There were so many temples already existing in Vrindavan. Why did Prabhupada have to create another temple? Because he knew that he could establish a place of concentrated Krishna consciousness. Not just a Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Krishna. Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So he established his Krishna Balaram temple so that worship of Krishna and Balaram could be prominent in Vrindavan. And during the installation ceremony in 1975, the local brahmanas were brought in to recite all kinds of prayers and do all kinds of rituals. But Prabhupada told the devotees privately, just by your sitting down and chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the deity is installed. We didn't have to go through all this elaborate ritual. But just to make the locals feel satisfied and that here is a real deity of the Lord, he did that. Now, yes, there are rituals that are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures to perform this pran pratishta for bringing the Lord into the deity form. But from the Vaishnava perspective, as mentioned earlier in one purport in this section, that the kirtan, sankirtan, has to precede and follow any auspicious ritual. In other words, if there is no chanting, then it's not auspicious. The ritual is incomplete. There has to be the chanting, specifically of the Hare Krishna mantra, before and after the ritual. And during, even. Why not? Many times we do that. We see the fire sacrifices going on and the devotees are chanting. That's okay. Each corner of the yoga pit is supposed to have the Veda being recited. And each of the four Vedas are supposed to be recited at each of the four corners of the pit. But in today's society, there are no real qualified brahmanas. They don't even know what the four Vedas are anymore. I mean, they still have the surname in India, Chaturvedi. Chaturvedi is supposed to mean somebody who knows the four Vedas. Not just you have a surname, Chaturvedi. There's Trivedi, Dvivedi, Chaturvedi. So that was given based on your knowledge. Dvivedi means somebody who knows two of the four Vedas. Trivedi, somebody who knows three of the four Vedas. Chaturvedi means they know all four Vedas. What are the four Vedas? Rig Veda? Atharva? Sama? Yes. So these are the four Vedas. So if you know all four of those Vedas, then you're Chaturvedi. And they're supposed to be recited at each of the four corners of the yoga pit. But nowadays, again, no one is qualified, so therefore just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Krishna says, Vedaisya sarvayaham eva vedyo, Vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. By all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna says. So if you know Krishna, if you chant Krishna's name, then automatically all that Vedic knowledge is present. So Narad Muni is saying that, yes, you have to engage in auspicious activities, and it should be performed in an auspicious place. And these temples are auspicious places. Prabhupada asked right here in L.A., he said, what is the difference? What is special about this building? Why is it different from any other building on this street that we're living on? It's made from the same bricks and the same paint. And so why is this building special? Because it is a place of concentrated Krishna consciousness. The deity form of the Lord is here. And we should know that the deity is non-different from Krishna. Krishna is here. Again, in relation to that opening of Krishna Balaram temple, Prabhupada said, there's no difference between Krishna Balaram and Gaur Nithai. He said, there's no difference. Same personalities. Krishna Balaram appeared again as Gaur Nithai. So he said, if you have any difficulty, you just come before Krishna Balaram or Gaur Nithai. And I always get a laugh whenever Prabhupada says this. He says, you should say, my dear sir, he said, approach the deity and address him like this. My dear sir, this is the problem. And then tell him your problem. Obviously, Krishna, Balaram, Gaur Nithai, they're omniscient. They know your problem. But this is just a way of encouraging you to establish a relationship with the deities. They're not just standing there, not just stone standing there. They want you to approach them. And Prabhupada said, if you qualify yourself, Krishna, in his deity form, will speak to you. He said, actually, he's just waiting to speak to you. But you don't want to hear him. We don't want to hear. We have our ears blocked up with so many nonsense things that we want to hear. So Prabhupada said, qualify yourself that you can come before the deity and the deity will speak to you. Krishna will tell you. And, I mean, I can't verify, but we have stories in ISKCON of especially pujaris that the deities are spoken to. There's that one, everybody knows who's been to Mayapur. We have our Mayapur Jagannath Mandir. If you've been there, it's a little bit of a distance from the main temple, but that's a temple that was given to us by some other sect that owned that temple at one point. So those deities are very, very powerful deities. I saw them for the first time in 1991. I was immediately attracted. I took a picture of them at the time that I still have in my apartment. And so one pujari was serving the deities, dressing the deities one morning, and, you know, he's trying to figure out, pujaris know, he's trying to figure out what was the right, you know, necklace to go with this outfit like that. So he put one necklace on Lord Jagannath, and he turned around to do something, he turned around, the necklace was on the floor. He's wondering, I know, I put, okay, so he put it again, and he turned around to get something else, and the necklace was on the floor again. So now he's really shocked. He's wondering, am I dreaming? What's going on here? So again, the third time, he picked it up and put it on Lord Jagannath, turned around again, and then Lord Jagannath told him, don't you understand, I don't want this. So the deities will speak to you if you qualify yourself. This is the whole point of Krishna consciousness. We know, and even theoretically you should understand, if Krishna is all-pervading, if he's in between every atom, in every atom, then why not in the deity form? What is to prevent him from being there? Technically, there's nothing to prevent him from being there. He's God. He can be anywhere. In the Christian tradition, they accept that God spoke from a pillar of fire, from a burning bush, from a, you know, like that. So if God can speak from a burning bush, why not from the deity form? What's to prevent him from doing that? Nothing. There's nothing to prevent him. What's preventing is our lack of purity. So the Krishna consciousness movement and the recommendation to perform all these auspicious activities is simply meant for purification, for purifying our consciousness so that we can again engage directly in the service of the Lord in pure consciousness, and the Lord will speak to us. We can speak to him. He already knows everything. He knows what's bothering you, Anthony. He knows what's bothering me. He knows everything. He knows our aspirations. He knows our failures, our shortcomings. As we say in ISKCON, you can fool some of the people all of the time, all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool Krishna even one time. So don't try, in other words. So we can't fool Krishna. He knows everything. But still, we're being encouraged by Srila Prabhupada. You come before the deity and they say, my dear sir, this is a problem. Because we all have problems. Whatever that problem is, you come before the deity and you present it. And then you wait for his mercy, which doesn't always come in the way that we want it or when we want it. Because if we got whatever we wanted, we would all be living eternally in the material world without Krishna. That's what we want. We want our own universe, at least. Someplace where I can be the boss and tell everybody else what to do. In other words, we still want to be God. But by the process of purification, we give up that foolish idea and we simply aspire to be not even servants of God, but servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of God. But janmanam madharanam madukai tubare but partani yadanuja eka esham prityasa britya parichayaka britya britya prityasa britya smaramam itimam smaralokanati. This is a prayer by a great Vaishnava then. The perfection of my life, majjamanam, madharanam madu kaitabari. Krishna is known as the killer of madhu and kaitabha. Ari, actually, Krishna, Prabhupada says in that purport to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhavari Sesha, that Krishna is nobody's enemy. But for one who wants to see God as enemy, he appears before you as your enemy, kills you, and gives you liberation. So Madhu Kaitav, they were these great demons that he killed because they wanted to be oppositional, to oppose God. So the Vaishnava is praying that the highest perfection of my life and the greatest benediction that you can give me is for you to see me, remember me as a servant of the servant of the servant of your servant. That is our perfection. That's what we're striving for. not to serve Krishna directly, but always through the parampara. And this goes on even in the spiritual world. Sometimes we're thinking like, okay, now that I'm in here, I'll be the servant of the servant. But when I get back to the spiritual world, then I'll be. No. No, even in the spiritual world, there is hierarchy. We learn that from the Vaishnavacharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Navadvipataranga. He specifies his position, what he does in the spiritual world, and how he is the servant of some servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, like that. Not that he goes back to Godhead and directly serves Radha Krishna. No. The order comes down, Radha needs whatever. And then the order comes down and somebody goes and gets it and goes back up and the chain is given to Radharani. Not that you're become the boss when you go back to Godhead. No. We're eternally servants of Krishna. Jivara Surupahai. Krishnera Nitya Das. Krishnera of Krishna, Nitya eternally Das. We're eternally servants of Krishna. That's the position. And because of bad experience in the material world, we don't like to hear that word servant. Because servant means somebody who's abused, misused, like that. We don't like to hear that. But it's not that way in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everything is perfect. The master is perfect. The servant is perfect. The service is perfect. Everything is perfect there. There are no anomalies. There are no problems. Everything is perfect. So we shouldn't be afraid of purifying our consciousness again to the point of really, really wanting to serve the Lord through His devotees for His satisfaction. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, back to Anthony. Dr. Anthony asked a very intelligent question. How do we define a pure devotee? So, in the fourth chapter of the Anilila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's this nice verse that says that any desire to satisfy yourself, right? Any desire you have to satisfy yourself, that is sense gratification. And it's called lust, kama. The desire to serve Krishna for His satisfaction is pure and is called love. That's the difference between love and lust. Right? So this is what defines a pure devotee. A pure devotee is that personality who simply wants to serve Krishna for His satisfaction, not wanting anything in return. That is a pure devotee. And the opposite extreme is somebody who wants everything for their satisfaction. And then we are, as we progress, we're somewhere in the middle. That's called mixed devotional service. We are serving Krishna. We've been convinced that service to Krishna is the right thing to do with my life, but I still have material desires. So I perform Gyanamisha Bhakti, that is bhakti mixed with desire for gyan, for speculative knowledge. Karmamisha Bhakti, that's bhakti that's performed with the desire to get some fruit. I'm serving Krishna, but in the back of my mind, I have my list. I want a nice house in Beverly Hills. I want the latest Mercedes. I want. And then we become a little disappointed if we don't get that. If I'm serving Krishna 5 years, 10 years, and the house still doesn't manifest, or the Mercedes doesn't show up, I still have a Toyota, then I become a little bit upset and doubtful. And there's Yoga Misha Bhakti. I'm serving Krishna, but I have desire for mystic powers. You see, understand? Mystic powers. I want to be able to demonstrate some mysticism, become smaller than the smaller, larger than the largest, to be able to take anything I want from anywhere, to control others. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, he said these yogis, they go off to the Himalayas, they develop some mystic cities, and they come back to the cities and they show off. They control people, and they can develop a mystic city where they can freeze you right where you are. You can't move until they release you. They can develop such powers. They can become smaller than the smallest. You lock them in a room somewhere and they come out through the keyhole. And people become fascinated by that kind of stuff and give them money and worship them like their God. So that desire can be there still. I'm worshiping Krishna and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm serving the Lord, but I still have some desire to develop some mystic potencies. Why not? Wouldn't it be great if I could go out on Sankirtan and just control everybody and make them buy a Bhagavad Gita? Control them. Freeze them so they can't run by me. Wouldn't that be great? Yogis can do that. There's this story of this king called Mashapat, who became haunted by a very bad ghost. He was actually a devotee, but because he became haunted by this ghost, he became a Rakshasa. He was actually killing people and eating them. And he killed and ate the son of one of a great Muni, Vasishtha Muni. And then he came to Vasishtha to try to kill him. And Vasishtha just said, hum, and froze him. He couldn't move. So they have, you can get that kind of power. So you may wonder, wouldn't it be great to have that kind of power? Just say, hum, and somebody's frozen, they can't move. Or control their minds and make them buy the Bhagavad Gita. But devotees don't want that. Devotees don't want that. They simply want to please Krishna. So to please Krishna, we'll go out and approach so many people who say no. We know that. Satchitananda knows already that he's going to go out today and the majority of people he's going to approach are going to say no. But still he does it to please Guru and Krishna. If Krishna's desire that this person is ready to take the book, fine. If not, still, just by having a moment's association with Satchitananda Prabhu, by seeing that book cover, by hearing Krishna's name, they benefit. So the devotee goes out in that mood, not that, this is so horrible, I wish I could just control everybody. No. Go out, approach everybody. They take, they don't take, they're still benefited. Okay? Is that all right? All right. Grantarachi Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.